Back when people around the world were growing more concerned about the spread of the Ebola virus in Africa, one person from our region took her concern and headed for the problem. Susie Foster is a nurse practitioner from Reading. She works at Hill Country Health and Wellness in Round Mountain. And she only recently returned to work after her quarantine period, 3 weeks after returning from helping treat Ebola patients in Sierra Leone in West Africa. Susie Foster is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for your time.
Differentiate, if you would, please, for the folks who don't know, the difference between nurse and nurse practitioner.
So a nurse practitioner has a graduate degree, and I'm trained more specifically in how to diagnose and treat patients. So I have my master's in nursing, and a nurse has their bachelor's in nursing or an ADN, a two-year nursing degree, and is trained to carry out orders.
More training, more capabilities.
Yeah,
gotcha. So you had already racked up some miles before Sierra Leone. Tell us about some of the places you've been.
I got my undergraduate at University of San Francisco in nursing and spent three different times down in Guatemala working with women's health. And then I went to Haiti after the earthquake and spent about 10 days down there working with victims of the earthquake. And I've also been to Nicaragua. Spent 2 weeks down there in 2011 treating women's health as well.
So what motivates you? I mean, probably be enough for some people to just say, hey, I treat patients in my country, but you have this need apparently to go other places. What drives you there?
I think that there's a great need outside of the United States, and there are lots of wonderful, very highly skilled clinicians that treat patients in the United States, and I feel like it's something that I can offer abroad that not everybody can offer abroad.
Something that they really don't have. And in fact, it seems like in some of these countries you have found healthcare systems that have dedicated people working there, but just not great facilities and not great tools to work with.
Right. And I've heard a lot from many different people that Ebola has broken the healthcare system in Sierra Leone, and really there's no existing structure for healthcare there that is anything that's sustainable or productive. And so it's, I always tell people it's hard to break something that doesn't really exist. And so Partners in Health, which is the organization that I went to Sierra Leone with, their mission is to partner with the government to strengthen healthcare systems around the world. And so they will stay there after Ebola for as long as the government will have them, 20 or 30 years, to help them strengthen their healthcare system from the ground up.
Well, the name is seems like a pretty apt one. They really are about being partners in health to help the local folks get up to speed.
Correct.
So, Susie Foster, how far advanced was the Ebola epidemic when you left? And of course, you could probably, get some gallows humor out of watching American cable news and making it sound like the whole world is about to collapse around us
right. In
this country with Ebola. But, I mean, what was your perception of it when you took off?
I took off in the middle of December, and it had kind of disappeared out of the media in the United States. You really had to look for the stories. You had to kind of look through the New York Times and look through the different papers to find the stories. And so I knew it was still there, and I knew that it was still bad. And when I walked in, it was still bad, and it was definitely still there. It's getting significantly better now, but they still have quite a road to fight.
You've been in some tough situations before. I mean, you were, I believe you were in Haiti right after the earthquake there in 2010. So, I mean, how much longer, if at all, did you think about committing to Sierra Leone and helping treat Ebola patients?
I've been asked this question a lot about why did you go, what made you want to go, and I don't really know how to answer that question other than I just had this real pit in my stomach that it was something that I needed to do and something that was really needed and something that I was able, hopefully, to be able to offer my services. And so I can't say I didn't have times after I applied to Partners in Health where I didn't think twice about what I was doing, but I always just felt this desire and this passion that I needed to go do this. It really worked out well.
Like you had to help.
Yeah.
What kind of training and preparation did you get before you either left the country or once you got to Sierra Leone, or both? It sounds like you got training in both places.
Right, yeah. So I was in Boston for a week at Partners in Health headquarters, and we did all of the kind of textbook training, learning about the protocols, learning about what makes a patient meet case definition and what doesn't, we watched videos on how to put on the personal protective equipment. That's the big spacesuits you see everybody wear, and how to take them off. We learned about Partners in Health's mission. We learned about a little bit about the culture that we were going into, and a little bit about the language. And then when I arrived in Sierra Leone, we did 3 days of what they call cold training, which was in a mock Ebola treatment unit, where we learned more about how to put on and off the equipment and actually did sessions in a mock ETU in the all of the equipment and ran through scenarios. And then once we arrived in Port Loko, where we were actually treating patients, we got 3 days of hot training with people who had been there for weeks already, learning more about the patient care and the hands-on aspects of treating Ebola patients.
We have Susie Foster here on the Jefferson Exchange with us, a nurse practitioner from Reading, works at the Hill Country Health and Wellness in Round Mountain, and just came back recently from working with Ebola patients in Sierra Leone in West Africa. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the exchange.
Comment and a couple of questions. The comment, ma'am, is you are to be saluted. More medical professionals should operate in the way that you're operating. I understand the financial burdens that are placed upon nurse practitioners, how difficult the business model is. For you to be able to take time and go do that is a remarkable comment on your character. So thank you.
Thank you.
A couple of questions. First of all, did you see anything that really seemed to help with these people? And then the second question is, we keep hearing rumors that Ebola may have mutated a little bit and become an aerosolized vector. Did you hear anything about that, or did you see anything like that to where the pattern of transmission was shifting?
All right.
I'll take my answers off the air.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Well, to the first question, the only thing that I think that we know helps with Ebola patients is hydration. So it's getting the patients to drink as much as possible. It's getting as much IV fluids in them as safely possible for the staff and for the patient. Anytime you have open lines to blood in the ETU with an IV cannula or an IV line always poses risk to the staff, as well as starting IVs pose risk to the staff. So it's a balancing act of starting IVs and getting patients hydrated and also getting them to drink as much as possible that we know works well. Beyond that, I don't think that we know scientifically that anything else really works well for treating Ebola patients.
I'm going to guess you didn't have any of the wonder drugs there, any of the things that have been experiments performed here in the United States.
Yeah, no, none of the experimental treatments that were done in the United States have been used over there, to my knowledge. They started in mid-February with some vaccine trials in the district that I was located. And I don't have any updated information on how those are going. As far as the mutations, I know there was some talk when I was over there about if the virus was mutating. And, I didn't keep up on it a ton, but I do know that I read an article just last week that the virus, they think, has actually not mutated at all. And I don't remember where I read that, but it was... I want to say New York Times put out an article about that the virus actually had not mutated.
But it's still a fluid contact. You have to have come in contact with somebody's body fluids to
want
to pass Ebola. Okay.
Correct.
And Susie, ETU, is that Ebola treatment unit?
It is.
Okay, I just want to catch up on that one. Peter in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Susie Foster, nurse practitioner.
Oh, hi there. I'd really like to commend you for your courage and compassionate service as well. I was really surprised to learn this Sunday on the BBC, there's a nonprofit group called Street Kids that says there's like 25,000 children that are on the streets because their parents died of Ebola, and they're kind of left to their own devices. I understand they're doing terrible things to have you know, to even have any food at all. And I was really surprised to learn that. I guess their infrastructure must be totally devastated. But it's just amazing the work that you do, and I want to commend you on that.
Thank you.
So much.
Right, thanks, Peter, for that. I appreciate it. So, Susie, when you got there, I mean, how difficult is it for anybody who's been in an American doctor's office, even a shabby-looking one, to imagine what the condition of the healthcare system infrastructure is like in Sierra Leone?
Yeah, it doesn't even compare. It really just doesn't compare. I mean, you know, here we can treat diabetes, and we can diagnose diabetes, and we can diagnose high blood pressure, and we, if somebody has HIV or AIDS, we're able to treat them. And you know, the people of Sierra Leone can get free treatment for tuberculosis, or I'm sorry, free testing for tuberculosis, for HIV, for a couple of diseases, and then they have to turn around and pay out of pocket for all of the medications. And as most of us know, treatment for HIV and AIDS is very expensive. Even just basic things like that are just really non-existent in a structure there. The children can get vaccinated up until age 5, and then after that, healthcare for them pretty much falls off the map as well.
So so you can get tested for some things and find out essentially how sick you are, but as far as getting treatment, that's a whole different story.
Correct. And my brief experience that I had there, I think that a lot of people don't get tested because they know that there isn't treatment. I treated many patients who told me, I think that I probably have HIV, but I've never been tested. And they're in the HIV stage that we all kind of think of as that typical, you know, real wasted kind of end of life HIV stage, where even if they could get treatment at this point, it's probably too late.
Susie Foster's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a nurse practitioner from Shasta County, just returned from, returned about a month ago from Sierra Leone in West Africa, helping treat Ebola patients. About how many people did you see? I mean, how many people ended up in the Ebola treatment unit while you were there?
I don't have exact numbers on how many we saw. There were about 67 patients my first day into the Ebola treatment unit, and about 10 clinical staff that were able to go in and out of the unit. So patients weren't getting a lot of care because of the staffing levels at that time. Numbers declined from there. I think 67 to 70 was the highest numbers that I saw. And what would happen is you would discharge a bunch of patients and the census would go down a little bit, and then you'd admit a bunch of patients. And so every time it never quite hit that high mark again, every time you would admit patients, but you'd discharge down to 30 and then admit back up to 50 and then discharge down to 25 or 30 and admit back up to 45 or 50. And it just kind of it seemed to go every week through that little cycle.
We're talking discharge in the good sense. They were leaving because they were getting better?
Not necessarily.
Really?
No. So you can get discharged from the ETU in three different ways. You can be admitted to the suspected side because you meet case definition, and everybody gets an Ebola test, and with every Ebola test is a malaria test as well because the symptoms are so close. So once you get admitted, everybody gets tested. If your test is negative, you can get discharged in that sense. If your test is positive, you get moved over to the confirmed side of the Ebola treatment unit. And from there, you can either survive or many people didn't survive.
I was going to ask you, it sounds like from everything we know here about Ebola, hemorrhagic fever, once you're deep into it, it generally does not reverse.
I don't want to quote specific survival numbers. Mm-hmm. Very highly depended on how quickly patients came in. It seems, in my experience, like in December, the patients were coming in after being sick 2 to 3 days, and we were able to hydrate them faster and before they weren't quite as dehydrated at that point. And we were able, it seems, to save more patients. In January and February, it seems like the patients were waiting 5 to 7 days, and you become very dehydrated in those first few days of being sick. It seems like our survival rate went down a little bit. Like I said, I don't have hard numbers.
And how was your employer at Hill Country Healthcare able to let you go this long?
My employer was amazing. I went to them in the probably the middle to beginning of November and just said, this is something I'd really like to do. And I thought that they would probably let me go, but I thought that they would need to kind of put some stuff into place in order to let me go. And they didn't hesitate. They said, absolutely, you need to do this. Let us know what we can do. And they did. And all of my coworkers picked up the slack for me while I was gone. So everybody here did their part in fighting this virus.
Wow. They really helped support you in that respect.
Yeah.
So what was it like, though? I mean, you had to spend 3 weeks in quarantine once you returned back to Shasta County, is that right?
Yeah, so I spent 3 weeks at home in quarantine. I was able to go for walks, hikes, bike rides, runs, as long as I stayed 3 feet away from people. I was only allowed to travel in my personal vehicle, and I was not allowed to take public transportation at all. In some ways, the quarantine was the hardest time because I had gone from working in an Ebola treatment unit for 9 weeks, having 3 days off in 9 weeks and really no time to stop and think, to coming home and having nothing but time to think.
I was going to ask you exactly that question, how much that thinking time weighed upon you.
A lot, and I think it still does. I don't think that you can go through something like that and not feel changed and not kind of have to figure out what the new you is. The first week was really hard, and then I think it started to kind of get a little bit better after that.
Well, you certainly got lots of praise for what you've done, for going to Sierra Leone, and thank you for doing that, and thank you for talking to us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
You bet. Susie Foster is an FNP, a family nurse practitioner, at work at Hill Country Health and Wellness in Round Mountain. Just came back a few weeks ago from working with Ebola patients in Sierra Leone in West Africa.